It's all about the macro productions.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
In uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Rumble, Band.video, Vigilante.tv, or you are listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate your undying support over the years. We're coming up on 5 years now with this show. I really was convinced I was talking to myself, and now to cross over 9 million downloads is pretty remarkable. Thank you all for sticking with me over the years. If you find somebody in your life you think might be interested, please share this show with them. Rate the show if you can. We're still fighting that stupid battle against the algorithms, and so we'll play their game for as long as we have to. We appreciate our sponsors, which make this show happen. We have a brand new one. Are you guys familiar with Van Man? Oh, you should be. You might need to go check it out. You can go to their website, vanman.shop, and check out what they're doing. They've sent me fantastic products. I've got Van Man tallow and coconut soap right here. I've got the Van Man's vanilla body butter. Packaging matters. They have killer packaging. Good stuff. I mean, the products are great too, but if you've got great packaging, it certainly helps out a lot. Van Man's tallow and honey balm right here in this little jar. They have tooth powder. Old-timey tooth powder is making a comeback. They're involved in that. They have tallow and honey balm. I've got peppermint aloe mouth rinse, vanilla body butter. I mean, there's a lot. They've got a ton going on, and they're great guys too. And if you follow them on Twitter or X or whatever, you'll know that they're sort of ideologically aligned with us too. They understand that there's a bunch of horse shit going on out there. So why don't you go and do this? Why don't you go take a look, see what they've got? If you vanman.shop is the web address. I'll put that down in the link, that link down in the show notes, so you can find it there. If you find something that you like, the discount code, as always, is macro. Get in the van, man. Also to our friends over at Legal Shield, they've been doing this for 50 years in the United States and Canada. They'll get you access to an attorney in your area for $1 a day, $30 a month, best money you'll ever spend. I'll tell you what, I just used them. When my mom passed away, I was sorting out all her affairs. You get to the tail end of the stuff when you're cleaning out the apartment, you wind up with the cable box. I had the letter from the cable company that says, please leave this equipment in the apartment. Do not take it to the cable place. Leave it in the apartment. So I took a picture of it, and I was going, there's no way they really want us to do this, right? So I took a picture of it. I took a picture of the equipment. I'm just like, I know that they're going to try and fuck me on this. when we get a couple months in, here comes the collection notice from Cox Communication, a shitbag company if ever there was one. And you know what I did? I sent it straight to my attorney at Legal Shield. I said, please handle this for me. And guess what? Sorted out. Just took care of the whole thing, right? So that's part of the reason why I encourage people to get Legal Shield. For, yes, obviously, last will and testament, medical directive, financial power of attorney, all those things, you got to have it. They know you're going to do that right off the bat. When you open up the app, it gives like, what do you need? What do you want? You know, click that button. Do you need documents? Yes. Boom, a drop down comes down. You click this, click, 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 submit. Send them everything. They'll call you the next day, set up an appointment, get knock that stuff out, man. If you don't do that in the first month, you're crazy. It'll pay for itself for the next couple of years with what you would have had to spend to go to some other attorney to do that. So I'll tell you what, best thing for you to do, go to the website that they have specifically for us, www.don'tgetpushedaround.com, and see for yourself and just check it out, man. It's the best money you'll spend. Please use it for good, not evil. You can use it against the cable companies all day long. You should use it against them, those scumbags. And you know, I was thinking about this, like, I have to deal with this. And I was like, no, I don't actually. Duh, I should just reach out to the Legal Shield people and say, hey, can you help me out with this? They took care of it. So sorted out. So go to don'tgetpushedaround.com and check it out. See what you think. All right. Well, before we get into the recap of Anarchapulco, which was fantastic, by the way, a reminder, Hypocrisy, second edition is out. Brand new cover, tightened it all up. It comes in at a very nice 258 pages. You can breeze through it pretty quickly. We did an audiobook as well. Audiobook is selling like crazy. Yeah, love it. I'm very excited about that. So if you're somebody that gets your information, oh, I don't know, like this, maybe not head down in a book, go to Audible, Amazon, Spotify, anywhere you get audiobooks, and take a look. It's spelled Hypocrazy, Hypocrazy. Hypocrisy, Surviving in a World of Cultural Double Standards. We put that one out in 2021, and the second edition is now available on Amazon and also barnesandnoble.com. So check it out. See what you think. Well, let's talk about Anarchapulco. It's moving. That was the big announcement at the end of the week, that Anarchapulco will no longer be in Acapulco. Starting next year, it will be in Puerto Vallarta, which, if I'm being completely honest, is a better site for it. Logistically, it's a better site. They asked, did impromptu survey with the audience. Hey, everybody, how many... anybody, you know, how many people took three flights or more to get here? Just about everybody raised their hand. It's tough to get into Acapulco. It's hard to find a direct flight. It's impossible almost to find a direct flight into Acapulco. You almost always have to go through Mexico City. And I was so excited this year because I was, and I jinxed myself, of course, by doing this, but I was convinced that I got the cheapest flight I'd ever gotten. I got the quickest flight I'd ever gotten, and I got one that didn't go through Mexico City for the first time. It was Denver to Dallas, Dallas to Acapulco. Nailed it, right? I'm going to come in Saturday, pre-show sort of production meetings and everything. Sunday, welcome, kickoff opening night ceremony. Sunday night, everything starts Monday at right around 11 a.m. And so I'm going to come in Saturday. I'll be a day early. I'll get situated, do all that stuff. Well, guess what? Did not start off that way. Thank you, American Airlines. I got to my flight 6 a.m. Saturday morning, and it was canceled. As we were all standing in line to get on the plane that we can see right there, the flight attendants are coming off, and I pulled one of them and said, hey, what's going on in the flight? What's up with it? And it's like, oh, we have a mechanical. Yeah, well, what is it? She goes, well, it's really cold in on the flight and none of the electricity works. I was like, okay, that's, I'm fine. I don't need to be on that airplane. So you got to get in the line. And what are my options? Well, your options are, you're not leaving today. You're leaving tomorrow. And you're going to overnight in Mexico City Sunday night. Miss the production meeting, miss the opening night ceremonies, and you're going to get in to Acapulco at 10 o'clock in the morning. with the event starting at 11. I was like, God damn it. Okay, fine. I have no other option. So I had to do that. So it didn't start off well. I spent Sunday night in Mexico City, not in a pod this time. Last year I rented a pod because I got in at like midnight and I had like a 7 a.m. flight the next morning. And I was like, well, just a couple hours. I'll sleep in the tube and, you know, check it out, see what it's like. And it was okay for that. This time I got in at like 6 o'clock in the evening and I wasn't flying out until 8 o'clock the next morning. I'm like, I'm going to get like an actual hotel room so I can sleep and, you know, do whatever. So got up next morning, got to, the hotel's in the Mexico City airport. So I didn't have much, you know, I didn't have far to go, but I have to tell you the story of my interaction with the TSA. And in my Octopus book, which I wrote in 2017, there's a chapter called Black and Blue and Dumb All Over. It's about the TSA because they wear black and blue uniforms. And sort of the punchline to that joke is that they give everybody that works there a test. And the people that, you know, not, you know, in order to get hired there, you have to take this test. What they don't tell the people is that the test, you know, with scoring of the test, it's sort of like golf. Low score wins, right? You don't want to ace the TSA test because if you do, then they won't hire you because you're too smart to work there. They want the George Carlin quote, the people just smart enough to work the machines, but just dumb enough to not realize how awful the job is. And so, so I write that in the book in 2017 and I brace for impact every time I go through TSA. I never go through the body scanner. I haven't gone through the body scanner in at least 10 years. I always make them give me the pat down and I always make them do it out. They give you the option. You want to do it in a private room or you want to do it here? I go, no. I want to do it here. And part of the reason why I want to do it here is because I want that guy to get on his knees in front of everybody. And I'm desensitized to it now. I fully realize he's sexually assaulting me. But I want him to get on his knees and I want him to reevaluate his life decisions, you know, while he's like feeling me up as I'm being super, I'm always super nice chatting with the guys and whatnot. And I just want them to go home and cry themselves to sleep. You know, I want them to go, this sucks. So I go through, I get a guy who's pretty cool. And I must say, this is sort of the irony of me writing this book where I shit all over these guys and bring receipts, but they have been super nice from that point forward. I keep expecting attitude from them, and I know what I've written about them. Obviously, I know they haven't read the books, but I know I said some pretty horrible shit about them. So I'm always kind of like expecting the worst, and to be fair, they're very nice. They've been very nice to me. And this guy I felt was particularly okay. So he's doing the thing where he get, you know, he's, you know, you want to do, you know, arms out. I'm going to, this is the routine. I'm going to do, I understand. And so he starts small talking with me. So where are you going? I go, Acapulco. He goes, oh, wow. Vacation? I go, no, work actually. He goes, wow. What kind of work do you do? Do you get to go to Acapulco for work? I go, I'm a writer. And he's like, oh, cool. And I could have left it right there. But I could kind of see. And so he's down on his knees, right? Like right in between, like grabbing, like patting me up my legs, up to my balls and everything. And I said, I'm emceeing the largest anarchist conference in the world. And he goes, really? And I said, yeah. And he goes, no judgment. I go, no. He goes, that sounds amazing. And at that moment right there, I had a decision to make. There was part of me that wanted to dunk on this poor bastard so hard, you know, and just really rub it in his face that I'm on my way to Mexico to talk to a bunch of anarchists and have the week of my life. And you're on your knees working for the TSA at 5 o'clock in the morning. Feeling strangers' balls. And you know what I mean? But I didn't do it. Then there was the other part of me, the much more compassionate part of me, that almost wanted to like stick my arm out and go, come on, brother. Yeah, There's still time for you. You know what I mean? Come on, man. I'll get you out of here. Let's go to Acapulco. Like, this will change your life. You know, you'll never work this shit job again, you know? So anyway, so I just kind of had that sort of thought while I was, this guy was down there on his knees, you know, like, it's not over. If you're working a slave job, it's not over. You can turn it around, right? I had a slave job too for a long time, and I drove to work an hour each way, and you know, and I get it. And so, and you got to do what you got to do. But that was kind of how my thing started off. Back to the story. Okay, so I land in Acapulco just about 10 o'clock in the morning. See the guy with the sign. He's like, yeah, let's go. We got to go. You know, boom, throw my stuff in the van. Let's go. They take me over to the hotel real quick. Grab, you know, drop my bags, change real quick, grab everything that I need, jump back in that van, off to the event. I get in, go through registration. Hey, what's going on? You know, they give me my bracelets and lanyards and all that shit. And a stack of free drink coupons that was like 2 inches thick, which I could never go through. And I come around the corner and I'm trying to find where the stage is, because they move it every year. And I'm coming around, and as soon as I come around the corner, I can see Kat, the producer, on the stage. And as soon as I get in earshot where I can hear what she's saying, she announces, Charlie Robinson's flight has been canceled. We're not really sure if he's going to make it. We're still working on what our backup plan is. We're going to get started here in about 15 minutes. And as soon as I hear that, I'm running right down the middle of the, I'm running right down the aisle going, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. And the whole crowd stands up, starts going crazy and everything. It was just perfect timing. And she was like, oh, thank God. You know, and so I got there with 15 minutes to spare before everything kicked off. They gave me the microphone. They said, I took a look at the schedule. Boom, boom, boom. All right, what are we doing? Here we go. Oh shit, we're starting right off with David Icke. Get up on that stage. Are we good? Look over at the producer. We're good. Boom. David comes on the big screen behind me. I'm on stage. Welcome everybody to Anarchapulco. Great to see David Icke again. How are you? I got questions from the audience, and we just launch right into it. So that was how it started, man. It was fantastic. It's now the second year in a row that I've had this really amazing experience of getting to interview David Icke while I'm standing on the stage. He's not there physically. He's doing it virtually. He was back home. Couldn't make it. Gareth Icke is there. Gareth Icke, I can see in the back. Actually, I saw him right before I went on stage, gave him a big hug. But I can see him in the back, watching this. I said, hey, I need, you know, we're collecting questions from the audience for your dad and everything. He's like, all you need are three. He's like, how long do you have? I go, an hour. He's like, just all you need is three questions. I mean, just wind him up and let him go. I'm like, yeah, I know. So it's great to see David and have that interaction and get to do that again. And of course, you know, the crowd loves him. And I saw him in 2019 live in the front row the first time I was there, where he did 4 hours on the main stage, and he was just like on fire. You know, he'd just come off that Wembley tour, the UK tour, and he can't do tours anymore because they've got him banned from the Schengen region and Australia and my guess probably Israel. Not that he would be super popular there, but you know, I mean, God knows how many countries he's actually banned from. But we were glad to have him, and however we could get him for the second year in a row. And I'm just telling myself the whole time while this is happening, like, be cool, breathe, you know, enjoy the moment. I say this because David Icke's work was so instrumental in waking me up to a lot of what's going on. And the Ikes have been so cool to me over the years. I really appreciate it. And I think a lot of us feel the same way about him. He's been consistent, even when it was hard to be, you know, when he was the nutter, as he says, you know, people would cross the streets when they'd see him walking, they'd cross over to the other side of the street just to get away from him. So, you know, to have that sort of, you know, 30 years of that, only to be, you know, in our current era, a bunch of people going, we owe David Icke an apology, man. He was right all along for a lot of this stuff. It's just fun to have that experience with him. So after David Icke, I introduced, you know, normally at the Anarchapulco audience, there's only one politician I can think of who gets any sort of love, and that's Dr. Ron Paul. And I've seen Dr. Paul there three different times, and he brings the house down. They always sort of have him close out the first day. And you know, normally you get a guy who spent 20 years as a Republican in Congress, you'd think, yikes, that's not somebody you'd invite to the largest anarchist conference in the world, except that it's Ron Paul, who's been ideologically consistent the entire time and has been a real fighter. And of course, he hates the Federal Reserve, which makes people go crazy in the audience at an Acapulco. But this time I had the pleasure of introducing, I'd say, the second politician. He's not even really so much of a politician as much as he is just, he happens to be the president of a country. It's just that the country is Lieberland. Have you ever heard of Lieberland? It is a new country. These guys started it. I introduced Vit Jedlenka, the president of Lieberland, to the stage this year and had a chance to speak with him on a couple of different occasions over the course of the week as well. Super nice guy. And what they've got a piece of land that they have claimed that's in between Serbia and it's near Serbia. It's adjacent to Serbia and I think Croatia. It's tough to explain on the map, but it's in the middle of like three different countries and it's like a big island. And whenever you go there, if you go there, the Croatian police, I think, arrest you, or maybe it's the Serbian police. I don't know. It's one of them. They arrest you and then they take you to the station and they do the song and dance and they process you through and then they let you out a couple hours later. It's some weird thing, but this is their country and they are doing all kinds of legal maneuverings to make sure that it remains as a country. You might, understand that the neighboring countries don't know what to make of this. They're very hostile towards these people. These people are the nicest people around. They just want liberty and freedom, and they want a country that's, free from all of that. You can work your way towards getting citizenship there. You can get a passport. They're working on that. So fascinating to have Vit there, and he's been sort of a mainstay at Anarchapulco. I would have introduced him to the stage the year before, but he had flight problems too and wound up not making it. So this time around, I got a chance to meet him. And so if you're listening to this in Europe, or you think you're going to be in Europe, I think it's September, tail end of, fall of 2025, Lieberpulco will happen again for the second time. They did it last year in Serbia and got a great turnout for that. And so there's going to be another one this year. Not exactly sure the dates, but you can just look up Lieberpulco.com or Lieberpulco somewhere, or go to Anarchapulco.com and you can probably find some information about it. If you're in Europe and you think you want to go check it out, it's sort of like a mini Anarchapulco just happening in Europe. After Vit, I had Gareth Eich came to the stage, which was great, man. The crowd loves him. And what's not to love? He's just such a good guy, and I saw him out schmoozing with the crowd, and I got to meet his wife, who's just adorable and fantastic, and she's, and I had known each other via email for a few years, so she's handles David's bookings and whatnot, and so it was great to meet them both in person. Of course, I've known Gareth; he's been on this show before, but to meet him in person was fantastic. Mike Cobb from ECI Development; he's been on the show a bunch. He'll be back. We're going to have him back on. ECI Development is building real estate in Central America, Belize, Nicaragua, Panama, Costa Rica. And when you buy a condo from them or a house from them, you can also start the process of getting residency. If you're not in the market for real estate, but you just want to get residency, then you can buy into this investment that they have. They bought these teak forests. They're growing teak wood. And it's a 25-year plan, and you buy into it, and then you cash out at the end of 25 years. So you have to have a long time horizon for this. But as an owner of one of these small little parcels of teak, and they bought a whole forest, and then they divvy it up into these little chunks, and you buy a chunk. But as an owner of that, you then are eligible for residency. So it's a nice little way to get around that. And I think the chunks go for I think it's like $25,000, so that, and then about another $5,000 of legal fees. And that gets you in the process of starting, of getting residency. So if you're somebody that wants a plan B, ECI Development is a good place to take a look. They've been, you know, I've been friends with them since I first went to Anarchapulco because I had land in Belize, and I started talking to them about that. And Mike and I've stayed close over the years. And every year we do a breakfast. So Tuesday morning, the second day of the show, Mike and I sat down for breakfast, which we do. And you know, I want to know what they're doing. He wants to know what I'm doing. I talked to him about Activist Post. I talked to him about, you know, everything that's been going on with my mom. And we've just been friends over there. He's just a good guy. So if you're in the market, you know, and I realize not everybody is, but if you are and you're looking for a great place in Central America, then go to ECI Development. They've been a sponsor of this show. I mean, they're you can find, I think they're, if you go to macroaggressions.io in the partners section, you can just find the logo for them, click on it, and you can get into a workshop and they'll just explain what they're doing. There's no like obligation to buy or anything. You could just be a part of one of their seminars and find out what they've got cooking. They're building an EMF proof or EMF free community in Nicaragua. And it's fascinating. We talked about that a little bit last year about the project that they're working on there. I think people are going to demand that. They're first, you know, they're early. So you sound crazy when you're early. They're also the first developers to take crypto too. So if you're sitting on a large stack of crypto and you're like, God, I don't want to cash this out. I don't want tax implications here in the States. I mean, I definitely want to have a place, but I don't know what I want to, you know, I don't necessarily want to take out a loan. I've got a bunch of Bitcoin or I got a bunch of Ethereum or whatever. You can buy it with crypto. They'll take it. They do a lot of deals in crypto too. Obviously, that's why they're down there, because they're talking to the crypto guys. So great to see Mike Cobb again. I introduced Max Egan to the stage again. Max Egan starts his presentation every single way, every time he's ever done a presentation there. I think this is the fifth time I've seen him. It starts the same way. I know how he's going to do it. He knows how he's going to do it. I just let him roll. It starts with fuck the government, fuck the government, fuck the government. And that is just exactly how you launch into a Max Egan tirade for the next hour. And he went off. And I love Max Egan, man. Talk about a good dude. Like one of those guys, he's the Obi-Wan Kenobi of like the truth community. You know, you watch his, if you go, you can go see The Crow House. That's his show. And he does a lot of walk and talk videos, kind of the same way Jeff does. And through Secret Garden, which is the facility where Anarchapulco happens. Max is great. Max lives in Acapulco. Max has a bar down there. It changes sort of every year, but and this year was no different. There was everyone at every night. You want to go to Max's, you want to find something that's going on, go down to Max Egan's bar. There's going to be people playing live music. There's going to be people drinking beers. There's going to be people doing tequila shots. There's going to be joints getting passed around at every table. I mean, the party's spilling out into the street. It's just a blast, and Max is such a great dude. Miriam Hanane, the Bee Lady, she's one of our favorites. She's been on this show a bunch. Union of the Unwanted, God, I know, I mean, at least two dozen times. And she was talking about The Real Timeline, her new book on George Floyd. She's got a movie out, a documentary movie on it as well. She purchased the footage, the body camera footage from the government, and went through it and showed that there's some discrepancies in the official story. You can see some stage management going on. You can see one of the officer, you can see the Asian officer keeping people back and then motioning them to come. I'm telling you right now, Miriam Hanane is right over the target. They do not appreciate her sticking her nose into their business. But that's what she does. Also, I had Christoph Michalczydek come on. He and I actually got a ride from we were on the same flight out of Mexico City. So we came in together. He's from New Zealand. He's a shaman. He's a healer. Goddamn, on the last day of the event, he had Jeff backstage and he was working on Jeff. And Jeff was, Christoph was working on him, Jeff was screaming his brains out. And he was like, working through some real, like, he was like trauma or something, man. Christoph put Berwick through the ringer. And then Jeff had to go out and stand on stage and talk afterwards. And Jeff was like, I apologize, everyone. If you heard me screaming back there, that was Christoph doing it to me. He's like, I am like, on another plane, you know? And so this is a guy who's fascinating. I didn't know him until this event, but it was my pleasure to get to know him. Then we wrapped up day one with auctions. They always do auctions. They're auctioning off, they auctioned off a really cool trip to tour the iconic studio in Derby in the UK. You got to get yourself to the UK, but it was like a 2-day event where you could go through the studio, go backstage and see them filming all the shows there at the iconic studios that's run by Jamie Icke. And David comes in every Wednesday and you get to have lunch with David, and then you get to sit down and you get to conduct a 5-minute interview that on film with David. You get to it was like all access passes, and people were bidding. They actually did two packages for it, and people were like bidding like crazy. It was really cool to see. And so anyway, when we got done with day one, I had to jam back to the hotel. I mean, the whole day was just me going. I didn't have time to be nervous or anything, have any sort of anxiety about getting up on a stage in front of 1,000 people. I just go for it. So after the auction ended, I had to zip back to the hotel, take a shower, get changed, get back to the event, because then we had the VIP dinner. That was Gareth Icke and Stu Peters, a joint VIP dinner, and they set that up. That was a lot of fun. They have all the tables set up, and they put a speaker at each, not a music speaker, but I mean one of the speakers throughout the week. They picked a couple of them, and they said, you know, put them at each table, and great dinner, great drinks, have a good conversation with everybody at your table. And then I got to get up and be like game show host, you know, like going around from table to table. Let's get Gareth Icke up. Let's talk about what's going on there. Let's get Stu Peters up. Hey, Stu's an intense dude, man. Stu's jacked too, by the way. I don't know if you know it, but he's like a big dude. You know, he is all about it, man. He brings an intensity to him. And he did not speak on day one. He spoke on day two. He was getting in too late to speak on day one, but he got in on time for the dinner. So we did that, and then we just went around. Everyone sort of, all the speakers at each table kind of took turns getting up and talking. We were there for a couple hours, 3 hours for this dinner. It was a lot of fun. I think that that's one of the things that people need to do if they're going to ever come to an Acapulco, is you got to add on these like little a la carte items, these in addition to your ticket, these experiences. Maybe it's the VIP dinner one night. Maybe you're going to go out to, they had like a speed networking event on Tuesday night or Wednesday, one of those nights that we were at. They had, you can go add on all the ceremonies. We'll get to that at the end. I'll wrap up with my Bufo experience. And it was hot, man. Oh man, I was looking forward to it the whole time. And then so Monday night, the first night wrapped up, you know, I was at Max Egan's bar till about 2:30. I was, I was enjoying myself a great deal as most people were. And on a side note, which is, you'll see this at some point here, but I had an interesting sort of component this year that obviously did not have in the past. This time around, I had a documentary film crew with me for the whole week. That was me just following me around wherever I went. And if you're familiar with T. Snyder, he's been on this show before. He's a director. He directed a movie called Hold Me. We talked about that. It was about a woman who sits with people at the end of life and in their sort of, it's not medical assistance in dying, but it's people that know that they're at the tail end and they need somebody that, you know, they pay somebody to be with them. Really well done movie. And he said, hey, listen, I'm putting together this documentary series. And he started it with the Grimerica guys, Darren and Graham, and it's already out. You can go to conspiracysynergy.com and find it. I encourage you to to watch. It's a mini documentary on the guys from Grimerica, who are just the best guys around. I mean, they're just so much fun. And T followed them around and did about a 20-minute documentary. And he said, listen, I want to do that for you. Would you be okay to allowing me to follow you around in Acapulco? And I said, yeah. I mean, after I watched that mini doc that he did of the Grimerica guys, I was like, if it looks like this, then absolutely. So we planned for that. And T spent a week in Morelia, Mexico with Derek Bros, following him around for the People's Reset. He then went to Guadalajara with Hervoy Morich to follow him around at his home and kind of become embedded with him to do a little, you know, to do a mini doc for him. And then he got to Acapulco and he was with me for the whole trip. So wherever I went, you know, within reason, of course, he was there. And so, you know, you got to drag him around to Max's bar at night. You know, I don't think he was, you know, crazy about being out till 3 o'clock in the morning. I let him go pretty early on, but he, you know, you get a chance to see that. So, he'll be at the Third Eye Carnival in Nashville. For those of you that are interested, you know, first week of April, right outside of Nashville, Third Eye Carnival. So that was day one. Day one was, I was exhausted, man. And again, I was getting like 5 hours of sleep every night, which was, I considered to be pretty good. All things considered, you know, how bad it could have been. Day two, Danny Sessom's doing the crypto show live every morning. He's set up there doing his podcast live. My day started with breakfast with Mike Cobb from ECI Development and Ken Schwartz from C60 Power, both sponsors of this show. We then left after the breakfast. Mike and I went to the main stage for the authors panel. I was hosting that. So there's we had a group of authors that were up on the stage, and we were talking about the book writing process and the publishing process and distribution and how you do it and how you do it wrong and how you do it right and all these things. And it was so Mike Cobb was part of that. He wrote a book on relocating to, you know, Central America, like how to relocate out of America and do it right. So we talked about his book. We had doctors Lydia and Arturo De Leon on there. They're fascinating. They do sacred geometry architecture and just amazing work. And they've written a few books on that. So we talked about their books. There were a couple guys, Chris Horlicher didn't make it. A guy named Emmett Cobb didn't make it. Chris was around, but he didn't get the memo. That's when we were starting. And so it was a little bit of a, you know, smaller group on the stage, but we talked about, you know, the process of writing books. Then, Tease pulled me away for like an hour for interviews in different locations throughout the place. Stu Peters wrapped up day two with a pretty heavy presentation. Rubbed some people the wrong way. He was just like very direct about his. I mean, if you've seen his movie Occupied, and you should see it. It's very sad. But some of the same people that were at the event, Jeff Berwick, Max Egan, they were there. And Stu executive produced it. They were there as well. So Stu was he was going hard against Israel as you do, and as is warranted in my opinion. But he was just like, man, he's like, if it were the Native Americans, I'd say it was the Native Americans. If it was the, you know, the Finns, I'd say it was the Finns, but it's the Jews. You're like, and everyone's like, whoa, like he went as hard as you could go. Right. So, we had a speed networking event that night, which was a lot of fun. Actually, it was at a restaurant that's right on the beach, and it was like speed dating. It was like each of us were at a different table, and then all the people that paid for that a la carte feature, they would get rotated through, and you'd have 5 minutes at this table and 5 minutes at, so I got Max Egan to the left of me, I've got Dr. Andrew Kaufman down, you know, next to me on the other side, and a bunch of people, you know, a bunch of other speakers, and people are just rotating through. Really great time, fun to talk to everybody that was there. Really interesting people attend this event. I encourage you to to take a look at that. We went to Max's bar afterwards. This was Christian Yordanov, Tees was there, David Alcott from the Third Rail, Johnny Dollar, my if you're familiar with my crypto artist buddy, Johnny Dollar, who was my DMT partner on multiple experiences. I talked about the grid that was with him. I saw Johnny there. Great to connect with him. Dave Weiss, Flat Earth Dave. Great to see Flat Earth Dave as well. He's out. He's always a lot of fun. Dr. Andrew Kaufman was there. And then they're just a band, you know, they're like, it's just a bunch of people that are musicians that bring their guitars and show up, and play. Tim James brought his guitar. He joined the band. Max Egan obviously was at his bar. He had a guitar. We had David Avocado Wolf was playing drums. We had, you know, just Adam Biggleson was playing bass. You know, it was fun. It was a fun, fun time. And then some of the people that were like a guy named Elliot, who I met last year, he can sing. He went up there, he was singing, doing songs. And, you know, no one's like, it's not like a concert where everyone's like focused necessarily. It's like, it's music that's going on in the background while you're sitting at your table, talking to brand new friends that you just met. So it's always such a great event. I had a really fantastic sort of add-on feature that I didn't expect. And that was just a function of the hotel where I was staying. They rented out the entire hotel, this Hotel Mariva, which is right on the beach in Bonneville. And they put all the speakers in there. And so, not all of them, but I mean, there are a couple hotels that they had speakers in. But this one was just jammed with all the other people. So they had these tables, these plastic tables that you, right as you walk outside of the hotel, you open these doors towards the beach and you're just right on the sand. You're just right there. So there's two tables and a bunch of chairs that they had set up, and we would have, that was the breakfast club. I'd go down there about eight in the morning, and people would be set up out there. They have their laptops, maybe working on a presentation that they were getting ready to do, or just sitting around. And the people that ran the hotel would just come out and they'd say, "What do you want?" You go, "I want eggs, two eggs, toast. Oh, great. Orange juice. Great. Boom." Come back in 5 minutes and here comes your food. So we were just having breakfast on the beach every morning and talking to those guys. And that was Steve Falconer from Spacebusters, who there's some people in life you meet and you go, "I like that guy." Instantly, right off the bat, you don't know why, you just know you like him. Steve Falconer is one of those guys. He's just adorable. You know, I mean that in the best way possible. He's just so much fun. He's got this really outrageous laugh, you know, like almost like a Simpsons kind of laugh, you know, like a cartoonish laugh. And you get him going, man. He's fun. I met him last year. This is the second year of hanging out with him. And so it was Steve Falconer, Dr. Andrew Kaufman, Mike Winner from Alpha Vedic, and also he does an event called Music and Sky. His partner from Music and Sky was there as well. Christoph Mikelsdick was there as well, the shaman guy. Beth Martins would have breakfast with us when she was feeling well. She was sick the first couple of days. And director Drew Treglia from Jones Plantation and Barnum World was there. And so it was just an interesting group of people. It was so interesting, in fact, that one of the days, the four of them, Steve Falconer, Andrew Kaufman, Mike Winner, and Christoph, all recorded a podcast right down there on the beach. They brought out the microphones, they set it all up and put up a block so that the wind wasn't, you know, in their microphones, and they just sat down and recorded just a banger conversation that I heard about, but wasn't able to participate in because I was elsewhere. That's just the sort of stuff that was going on there. I had a chance to connect with a bunch of my sponsors from the show. Tim James, I mentioned, from Chemical Free Body, the owner, was down there. Nick Krasian was down there. He's from Chemical Free Body. You'll catch him in the next episode. I did an interview with him right before we left for Mexico. This is a dude that knows a ton about health. Same as Tim. These guys changed their lives, saved their lives, really, by changing their diet and getting on board with clean foods and supplements that actually work. And so it was great to see them. Tony Arterburn from Wise Wolf Gold and Silver, and now Wise Wolf Bitcoin was down there. Obviously, Tony's one of my favorite people. I enjoy hanging out with him. It's the second time we've done this in Mexico. We've had dinner in New York City. We've been out and about together. And I really appreciate him. David Avocado Wolf, another sponsor, he was there, gave him a big hug. Didn't get to see his presentation again for the second year in a row. Bad on me, but I just was getting pulled in so many different directions. Ken Schwartz from C60 Power was there. Christian Yordna from Live Longer Formula was there. So we had a bunch of sponsors. It was great. It's great to see all those guys in real life and connect with them. A lot of them have been with me for a few years now, and I really appreciate them. And if you're somebody that is looking to support companies that are like-minded, you should check out Chemical Free Body, Wise Wolf, David Avocado Wolf, davidwolf.com, C60 Power, and Live Longer Formula. I mean, these are the guys in real life that I get a chance to meet and hang out with, and I feel proud to represent their products because I know they actually work. They do something good for you. Wednesday, halfway through, Crypto Day. Crypto and Sound Money started with Breakfast on the Beach, like with the Breakfast Club guys again. And Drew Tregley and I talked about our presentation because we had something going on the same day. Actually, we all pretty much left the breakfast together and went to the event because there was the first thing that was going to happen that morning was the directors panel. So they were going to have a few people up there, and it was many of the same people from breakfast. It was Steve Falconer from Space Busters was there. He was hosting the round table. I was sitting in the audience for this one, just filming it. Drew from Jones Plantation and Barnum World, and Tees, who for this part put his camera down and wasn't filming me. I was filming him as he was up on the stage being a part of this panel. Miriam Hanane, director of Vanishing of the Bees. Dr. Andrew Kaufman, director of Terrain. Max Egan, who's been making his own movies for a long, long time, and he was one of the stars of Occupied with Stu Peter. So it was great to have that director's panel. And then after that was done, then Drew and I went up on stage and we did a kind of a joint presentation talking about the film that Drew is working on right now called Barnum World. And Barnum World is, it's got Mr. Jones from Jones Plantation, who's, you'll know him on Twitter as Legal Man. He's fantastic. And he plays this character, Natty Jones, in this it's a mockumentary. So it's a documentary, but it's kind of a comedy. It's meant to be sort of like half serious, half joking. And what Drew was going to do is show the first 35 minutes of it at an Acapulco Wednesday night. So what we did on Wednesday morning was we talked about it and explained, you know, the process. The reason why I'm involved in it is because I'm in the movie, you don't see me, but I'm the narrator in it of the movie. And also Natty Jones, the Legal Man's character is getting interviewed. And that's part of this, the bulk of this movie is this Hollywood producer who finally sits down after getting pestered by allegedly me for a long, long time to finally have the conversation about what it is he does and how he does it and how they manipulate reality. And so I'm the interviewer in it. So you don't see me in the movie, but you hear me asking the questions, and then I do the narration voiceover for it. So we talked about that a little bit, and we talked about the Jones Plantation as well, and how that movie got made. I mean, I don't really talk about it too much, but I was involved in the financing of Jones Plantation with Jeff Berwick. We took the proceeds from Controlled Demolition of the American Empire and rerouted that to them while they were filming it. So Larkin Rose and Drew Treglia and Legal Man were out there while they were working on the movie. Jeff and I were, as book sales were coming in, as revenue was coming in for that, we were able to then just like hand it off to them while they were in the middle of filming. And of course they needed it. So I've had sort of an involvement in Drew's movies, and happy to. I think he's a brilliant director. I think when Barnum World is out, people are going to love it, man. It's just So what we did is we screened it. We screened it later that night. We did the sneak peek and then a Q&A with them. I had, you know, I got going earlier in Wednesday at late afternoon. You know, I mentioned I had all these free drink tickets, and you could just sit out in the sun and drink beers all day long, and you know, it just evaporates right out of you. So they had these little mini Coronas, the Coronitas, man. I must have had a dozen of those, but you're totally fine. Like, you know, it just kind of, that's how it is when it's 90 degrees outside and you're sort of trying to avoid the sun and you're drinking beers. It's like, God, these things are going right through me. I'm not even hammered. Right. So by the time the movie came out, we were cooked. I mean, I was feeling pretty good. The movie was fantastic. The audience was there that watched it, loved it. And they're ready for more. So for those that are interested, if you want to be involved as like an executive producer type where you donate money to the film, you can do that. They're doing it on Indiegogo. You can go on Indiegogo and look up Barnum World. And, you know, P.T. Barnum, this is like circus. And Barnum's statement is like, we're all in this together. He's fighting for American values. We're about peace and democracy. You know, all these statements that politicians say that they're just like, they mean nothing. They're empty promises. And that's a Barnum statement, you know. So, you know, when they say like, trust the science, we're all in this together, you know. I take my shot to protect you and, you know, all that horse shit. So, and of course, Drew's got a great, great sense of humor. So it sort of permeates through this film. So we only showed part of it. We showed about a third of the movie so far, but the rest will be out in the next couple of months. So keep your eyes open, and I'll have Drew on, of course, to talk about it when it's ready. By the way, I did something. Tease and I actually, and he filmed it too. Berwick brought his RV and he had it in the parking lot. And in that RV, he had set up a Tesla machine. Are you familiar with a Tesla machine? You know what that is? It's like, it looks, I'll be honest, it looks preposterous. It's, you're holding like these light bulb, these like CFL light bulbs. They're like the round kind of spiral light bulbs, and they're big ones. And you got them, you're holding them in your hands, and then there's another light bulb kind of connected to it, and you kind of hold one in your hand and make sure that the other light bulb is touching your body somewhere. You can touch wherever you want, your chest, your shoulders, your where. If you've got a problem, I had a stiff neck, I was putting it on my neck, and you've got two of them, one in one hand, one in the other hand, and you're doing this, and it's kind of like snap, crackle, and popping you a little bit, kind of like, you know, and you can tell, I don't know how this works, but you can tell that it's found a good spot that it's working on when instead of the light bulb looking bright white, it gets a little yellow. And the guy I was with, Mike Middleton, crypto bazillionaire friend, he was sitting next to me and he had real bad tennis elbow and his grip on his left hand was all jacked up. And so he's like, take a look at my hand. Like the one in my hand is like, it's bright orange, man. It's really going to work on it. And I was unsure. It looks ridiculous when you're holding this stuff up to you. And Tease was filming it. And so you'll see it in the mini doc when it comes out. But I cannot argue with the results of it. We were waiting to go into the RV. There's somebody that was currently in there. The lady came out who was in there, and she walks out and she's holding her cane. She's got a cane with her, but she's not using it to walk. She's holding it. And she walks out and she goes, this is the third time. This was, I think this was Wednesday we were doing it. So this lady had gone in once a day, and this was like the third session she was doing it. And I'm like, you mind if we ask you like what's going on? She goes, I have multiple sclerosis. I have MS. And we're like, oh yeah. She's like, I've been confined to like a, not a wheelchair, but like a motorized scooter for the last 6 years. I finally have gotten to the point where I want to ditch the motorized scooter. So I'm using my cane, but it's been a challenge. And she's like, I don't even need my cane anymore. Tease and I watched her walk down the steps out of the RV. She had about a five minute conversation with us there talking about what she was doing. And then I watched her walk off. I was like, holy shit. So it's so powerful when they crank this thing up, when they turn this Tesla machine on, it knocked the power out to the entire event. And when Tease was filming it, he's like, holy shit, I got to like back off his camera. The viewfinder was getting all like squirrely. So there's something, it puts off all, there's an ozone smell. They did it they took the machines to Berwick's house on Wednesday night while we were doing the movie premiere. Jeff had like a private party at his house, and he had a bunch of people over there, but Stu Peters was one of them. And Stu apparently has like a really jacked up shoulder, and they put the Tesla machine on him for 20 minutes. And then, and they're like, test out your shoulder. He's like, I haven't been able to, like, oh my God, it's like totally fixed my shoulder. So I don't know how it works. Okay. And it's just that if you watch Berwick's walk and talk videos, he'll mention it. I think they're for sale. You can buy one of these machines. I think I heard that they're like $11,000. It sounds like it shouldn't work, but I'm telling you right now, it was pretty crazy. It was pretty interesting to watch that. There were a lot of people that were having amazing success with it. They took it afterwards. To one of the cab drivers who lives there in Acapulco, his wife was severely damaged after a COVID shot. And so they filmed it. Jeff showed me the video of this, of them filming his wife. They worked on her for like 20 minutes, and she had same sort of situation as that old lady. She hadn't been able to really walk very well, and she got up and walked away. Like it's like a miracle. It feels like a miracle. It's doing something to the circuitry in your body. It's like it's reconnecting it or rewiring it or something. And this is it's called a Tesla machine because it was technology that was invented by Nikola Tesla that Trump's Uncle John Trump stole. And so they're bringing it back. And so if you're somebody that has like critical need for this, you might want to look it up. It goes by TZLA. So it's the abbreviation for Tesla, but it's TZLA, Tesla machine. And I hung out with the guy, who was running the machine. He had one machine for him, and he had one of Jeff's machine. And so they were doing two people at a time in this RV. And it was just like, it was very powerful, man. I was very impressed with it. The speakers on day three, the crypto and hard money guys, Tony Ardburn was there from Wise Wolf Bitcoin. Jeff Berwick spoke, Rafael Laverde spoke. Actually, Rafael and I connected in the Mexico City airport. I got a chance to talk to him a little bit. He was there with his mom, which I thought was cool. I was glad to see that he brought his mom. I wished I could have brought my mom, but things have changed in my life. Paul Pui from Edge Wallet was there. He's there every year. Great to talk to him. And Aaron Day from Brownstone Institute was there as well. We had a chance to connect. He also was staying at my hotel. I'm like, hey man, I'm republishing. Nice to meet you. I'm republishing your articles on Activist Post. I love your stuff. And he's like, oh great. You know, so there's a lot of like, networking going on there. A lot of really great people that you can meet. Day four, Sovereign Living Day. Marjorie Wildcraft, who's been on this show a bunch from the Grow Network, she was emceeing that day, which was great. I got a break. I had a bunch of other stuff to do. There was a child education panel that Kat Bonadon Bleich, the producer, was in charge of, and Adam Biggleson. They were talking about working with children. I then had from 11 a.m. to noon, I was in the kids camp. They had me working with the kids, talking to them about book publishing. And there's a lot of really smart kids there. They're like unschooled, free range kids, you know, that were super smart. And we talked about writing books. We talked about writing comic books. We talked about how you publish them. We talked about how you print them. We talked about, you know, I had my books with me. Tease was there too. She was kind of wandering around sort of filming this whole thing. Really smart little kids. And one girl was like, I'm 13 years old and I read a book a day. And I was like, I don't doubt you do. I mean, she was really bright. She's like, I think I'm going to write a science fiction book. I really wanted to do it. I said, well, this is how you do it. And this is where you go. And this is how you publish it. And this is how much money it costs, you know, to print one, you know, it'll give you a calculation on what it costs. You can buy author copies that you get at cost, so you don't have to spend the retail price. They're like, oh my God, really? I'm like, yeah. So like, you can buy your book for like $5, even if you're selling it for $25, you can get it cheap and buy a stack of them and go around your neighborhood and sell them and do that. And they're like, so it wasn't just the kids. It was the parents were there. Vit Jedlenka, the president of Liberland, was there with his kids. He was asking me about books. He was asking me about, hey, so wait, I can do this. It was amazing. I was there for an hour. I probably could have gone for 3 hours with them. And I feel very comfortable knowing that those kids are going to go out into the world and do amazing things because they're just so bright. They haven't allowed the state to extinguish that light inside of them that happens at public schools when your ideas are crushed and your hopes and dreams are completely annihilated, and that they fit you into this one size fits all government schooling system and churn you out as a bunch of retards that don't know anything. Boy, these kids, we're all going to be working for them someday. It's very inspirational to see them and to know that education comes in a lot of different forms. It doesn't necessarily have to happen from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday at a government school. You can learn a lot spending a week at an Acapulco. So if you're somebody that's interested in coming next year to Puerto Vallarta and you've got kids, bring them. They had so much fun at the kids' camp because they were building boats out of cardboard and having these sailing races, and they were doing interesting stuff. It was really, and the speakers sort of rotate through. I saw Berwick in there on Friday talking to the kids about crypto. They all want to know about crypto, so he was explaining to them about crypto. You had Marjorie Wildcraft in there teaching them how to grow food, and so they were talking about gardens and doing all that. You had Jay Noon from Man Camp teaching them blacksmithing and welding. It had them out there building door hooks, jacket hooks for the back of your door, and teaching these kids how to build that. It's like, it's never too early for these skills. And these are real sovereign life skills. And so after we got done with that, Bearheart showed up. Shaman Bearheart was there. He did a big group session, got everybody in a big circle, talking to us. And that is a dude who commands your respect. Implicitly, he has a presence to him. He has a heaviness to him. He's a great dude. I've met him the I did a Bufo session ceremony with him last year and again this year. We'll get to that as I wrap up. But had a chance to talk to him and had a chance to ask permission. I said, "Hey, is it okay if I mean, this is sort of unusual, but is it okay if for my Friday session I bring a Tees with a camera?" And he's like, "I'm fine with it if you're fine with it." And I'm like, "Well, he's been following me around all week. I'm sort of desensitized to it at this point. And I think it would really sort of, you know, sort of like give people an idea of, well, to the extent that you can give people an idea of the Bufo ceremony." And he was like, "Yeah, it's fine with me." So we had that conversation and I said, "All right, well, I'll see you tomorrow." Then I went and watched Joel Salatin do his presentation. It was from the VIP section. Again, you could just sit back in this VIP section and get beers and sit in the sun and listen to Joel Salatin tell you about how to grow food, and Jay Noon talk about Man Camp and talk about what's going on in New Hampshire and talk about Pork Fest and everything that's happening there. David Avocado Wolf went on stage. But I'll tell you, I was cooked. By Thursday night, I went to bed early. Went out to Tees and I went and got some tacos down the street. And then he tapped out and I tapped out. And I said, we'll start this whole thing up again tomorrow. So Friday, the final day, breakfast at the beach. I watched Dave Weiss get ready for his debate prep. And then we all went over to the event for the flat earth versus round earth debate, which was great, man. It was a packed house for it. Chris Horlicher, Steve Falconer, Dave Weiss, Jeff Berwick, Kat, the producer. Her theory is that we're on a potato shaped object, which I'm fine with that. You know, I personally I personally have some questions. After my DMT experience a couple years ago and seeing the grid, and seeing how the grid extended all the way up through the sky, and I felt like I was in an enclosed system, I certainly have some questions about the firmament. I have questions. I know you're all very surprised that I have questions, but this final day, after we got done watching the flat Earth debate and a couple of speakers went, I had the pleasure of introducing Tim James from Chemical Free Body to the stage. He was there as a sponsor and also as a speaker. They had him come up and talk to, he was giving out Green 85. They had a big jug of Green 85. They were mixing up every morning, which was great. I'd just stop by. Hey guys, they'd give me a cup, boom, have that. And I'd get ready to go. Good hangover cure, by the way, too. I didn't know that until I had some, but after going out a couple nights before, but you can have a nice Green 85. I'm sure Tim would not be thrilled that I was claiming it fixes your hangover, but look, sometimes you need that. So I introduced him to the stage and then I had to jam off. As soon as we got off the stage, I grabbed Christian Yordanov and Tease and said, "It's time, man, we're going." So we went to a place called Bambuda. Bambuda is a holistic health center. It's beautiful. It's right on the beach. It's about 10 kilometers south of the event. And I had been there before. I'd been there a couple times before. Once they had a networking event there at night, and I didn't really understand how beautiful it was until I went the following year for the Bufo ceremony. And I was like, oh my God, like this is like white sand beach, exactly how you envision like beautiful Mexico sand, you know, beautiful white sand, bright blue ocean, just perfect. Right. So, it's really, and Christian Yordanov from Live Longer Formula, he's been really instrumental in helping me with Activist Post over the last few months with the technology side of things, the back end of building out that website. And one of the things I wanted to do for him was get him a ceremony, you know, was to say like, listen, thank you for all of your work. Let's enjoy this day. Let's enjoy the magic that is inside this, the most powerful psychedelic known to mankind is Bufo. It is the secretions from a Sonoran toad, which sounds crazy. Like it's not, you're not licking the toad, but they collect the secretions, and put it on a piece of glass and let it dry, and then they flake it off with a razor blade so that it looks like it's like Rice Krispies or something, you know what I mean? And then you put it in a pipe and you smoke it, and it is DMT wrapped in love. It's extremely fast acting. It's about a 10-minute trip. Well, it goes on for the rest of the night, you know, but the very powerful component of it. And, you know, and I was fine with having Tease there. Obviously, I mean, I've been pretty upfront about what I've been going through personally over the last 6 months or so, with my mom getting sick and me moving in with her and guiding that process and having the honor of assisting her in her transition to the afterlife. And that is, when it happens in slow motion like that, you have time to unpack, you know, you do have time to work through your emotions, as opposed to, you know, somebody dies suddenly and next thing you know, it's like, I can't believe I was just talking to them and now they're gone. And in my case, I had 98 days to manage that process and work through a lot of it. But there's still an unresolved emotion and trauma from that, of course. And so, you know, when you get into one of these Bufo ceremonies that it's going to be heavy. And I've been doing this psychedelics for 30 years and I'm not a ton, but over the, you know, began in 1990 the first time. And so, you know, 35 years, I guess. So I'm familiar with the process and I'm always respectful of it. And had I thought Tease was going to be disrespectful of the process, he wouldn't have been there. But of course he's perfect for this. You know, in part doing a documentary or I'm not filming a motion picture about somebody being there, sitting with people as they die. You know, I thought he was uniquely qualified to cover this and give it the respect it deserves and, you know, and film that. Now you can't obviously see what's going on inside my head during the process. And I haven't looked at the footage yet, but, I went first. I did one, you know, where I smoked once, laid down about 10 minutes of that. I sat up, I kind of looked over for Bearhart. He was right there and he knew before. I didn't have to say anything. He's like, "You ready for another one? You ready to go again?" I was like, "Yeah, I think we need to go again." He said, "Okay." So this next one is, you know, really loaded up, really, really heavy dose. And that one was, boy, it's hard to describe. It's impossible to describe, but you have to, it's about vibration and humming. There's a humming inside your head and a vibration. If you've ever looked at those, you've ever seen those videos where they take like a piece of plexiglass and they drop sand on it. And then they've got a speaker underneath it and they turn the speaker on and start to crank it and put it into a 432, you know, there's different sort of sound frequencies, but 440 is what the Rockefellers have tuned all of our music to, which makes people crazy. But 432 is more in line with nature. When you get it to that 432 frequency, it starts to, the sand starts to make sacred geometric patterns like that, and it starts to sort of react to it. It changes its shape to match the frequency. And if you understand that, then you're well on your way to understanding what a bufo trip feels like inside your head, because you start to get that humming and that frequency, and it's a very positive frequency. It's not like a grinding of gears or anything like that, but it is the frequency of the universe, and it gets you in line with that. And the colors that come in and the lights that come into your, you know, my eyes are closed, but the experiences and the kaleidoscopes and you feel like you're floating. It's completely disassociative. You cannot tell. You feel like you've been gone for a year. You know, it's 10 minutes. And when I sat up from that one, I was just sobbing. Like I wasn't like, I didn't feel like I was crying, but the tears were all the way down my face. So I was clearly working something out, you know, and I had a very positive experience. And I got up after that. You know, you're fine. I mean, you're back to like, you know where you are. It's not like being drunk or anything like that. It's a very, you know, boop, you're back to like reality. So you get up and I walked down to the beach and got in the water for a little bit and sat on the beach and just sort of processed what was going on. And then Christian went and I had a chance to watch Christian do his ceremony as well, man. I don't care about, I want money so that I can buy a Lamborghini. I just would never do anything like that. It's just, and fine if you want to, but it's just not my jam. But to have experiences, I'd rather trade that fiat currency in for experiences that nobody can take away from me, that don't depreciate in value after you drive them off the lot or whatever. I would just encourage people to gather as many experiences as you can. Going to a Narcopulco has changed my life. And every year is different. I encourage you guys to go. I really do. And the new one, or the next version of it in Puerto Vallarta, is going to be a lot easier to get to. I think it's going to be a lot cheaper to get to. Logistically speaking, it's just a much better location. And if you've got the right people, and they do, and you find yourself a wonderful location, magical things happen. And I appreciate the people that put it on every year. A big thanks to Jeff Berwick, who opens up his wallet. It's a money loser. They don't make money on these things. It's okay. He doesn't love it, of course, because he's a business person too, but he understands it. When you see how many people get their minds blown, get their lives changed, hell, get their physical bodies back, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's easy for me to say, you know, spend his money, but I appreciate it. I think a lot of people do. People come from all over the world to this event. Australians, people from Europe, obviously US and Canada. It's make time. Promise yourself that you'll go next year. And if you need to bring your family, bring your family. It's not one of those things where you have to find some babysitter. No, no. Your kids are going to love it down there. I watched them. I interacted with the kids. They're good kids. They had too much fun. They'd go swimming. They'd come back. They were doing arts and crafts. They were building crazy things. The kids camp was where it's at, man. So if you've got kids and you're interested in getting out, you can make, you know, combine a vacation with this. You can combine medical tourism with this. Puerto Vallarta has a lot of hospital facilities there. There's a lot of people that are like, you know, I could get my dental work done back home, or I could come to Mexico and get it done by somebody who's fantastic and for 1/5 of the cost, or I can get stem cells. I met up with Jeff not in Acapulco one time. Actually, I was in Puerto Vallarta the same time he was in Puerto Vallarta when we were working on the book. And I asked him, what are you doing here? I'm like, you leave Acapulco and go to Puerto Vallarta for a vacation? He's like, no, I'm coming here for stem cells. I was like, oh shit. Oh, okay. All right. So that's available. There's going to be a lot going on. I encourage you to think about it. You got a year. So to everyone that's interested in coming, to everyone I met this year, great to meet you. I never had enough time to sit and have the conversations I wanted to have with everybody, but I just really enjoy this event every year. It's my honor, obviously, to be involved in emceeing it. And I think that, you know, their expectations are that the size of the event next year will be triple what it is, simply because of the logistics and the capacity of Puerto Vallarta as opposed to Acapulco. You can get a direct flight from Rome into Puerto Vallarta. So especially if you're in the States, I mean, I've done that Denver to Puerto Vallarta at least 5 times. So just on vacations and things like that. So it's easier to get there. I encourage you to check it out and it'll change your life if your life needs changing. That's it. Thanks, everybody. I hope you will take a look. If you want to connect with me, macroaggressions.io is the best place to do that. I hope you bookmarked Activist Post. Go check that. Activist Post, Natural Blaze, great sources of information. If you want to follow me on X, you can find me at macroaggressions. Also on Instagram at macroaggressions_podcast. Thanks, everyone. Talk to you again soon.